So if you're a fan of studying the universe, the cosmos, space, I mean, I've been obsessed with outer space since I was a kid, then you might be familiar with this concept of the edge of the universe. So essentially, the Big Bang happens, the universe is expanding ever outward, and it's actually expanding faster than light can travel. And so this creates a weird phenomenon where we can only observe the universe via telescope, satellite, whatever, so far. And it eventually gets to a point where the universe has expanded so far and so fast that the light will never reach us. So let's say Earth is here, okay? And you have another planet here that is at the super far fringes of the universe. We're talking in hundreds of millions of galaxies away from us and then some. And it is reflecting light off of its star, okay? And that light is trying to travel to us because it travels in every direction. Well, the universe is expanding so fast that the light is literally not fast enough to ever reach us. And so this creates the edge of the universe, the edge of the observable universe. We literally can't prove that there's anything beyond it because we can't see it. And light travels extremely fast, way faster than we can travel via spacecraft. So there's no way in hell we're ever going to reach it via spacecraft either. That's like even way less likely. And so when you look at a map of the universe, it's cool because it kind of looks like an eyeball. Interesting. If you know anything about me, if you've listened to the podcast before, if you've watched me on TikTok, you know I'm obsessed with patterns and parallels. I think that it is the way that we can find truth. Truth is arguably completely subjective because everything is an illusion of sorts, right? This water bottle, it's a green water bottle, but it's really just a bunch of particles vibrating at a certain frequency to create color and hardness, so, and shape. And so everything is kind of an illusion. Truth might be completely subjective, but through patterns and parallels, you can start to find breadcrumbs that lead to some sort of truth, if that even exists. So it got me thinking. The eyeball, by the way, super cool. You look at galaxies, it looks like a hurricane, etc. The universe looks like a giant eyeball, which is super cool. And I woke up this morning and I thought, if there is a physical edge to the universe, then what about a spiritual edge to the universe? Now, if there is a limit to what we can observe physically in the universe, and anything that may or may not exist beyond that, we will never be able to observe or detect or study. Is there some sort of spiritual equivalent to that? Now, I haven't thought this all the way through because that's the whole point of this episode. I want to work through this and see if we can find something that makes sense, if we can find something that relates to us. And again, it mirrors physical reality. It mirrors the cosmos. So with all that said, I already have a couple of ideas going through my head. The first idea is like, if you've seen the movie Interstellar, there's actually the main theme in that movie is love. This is a movie about space. This is a movie about a space rescue mission. And the core theme is love and how love transcends both time and space. Love is this thing that transcends space-time. And space-time is like the fabric of our reality. It's like how we base everything. And so that's why black holes are so interesting, because they kind of eat space-time. Like black holes, like just they destroy everything and take it somewhere or nowhere. We don't know. In the movie Interstellar, the main character at the very end, he ends up actually going inside a black hole. And what he finds in there is what Christopher Nolan calls the Tesseract. And essentially, he's able to float around in there And he's going through different layers of time, like infinite versions of the same moment, different moments. And he ends up finding his daughter, and he like pushes his physical body through the barrier of space-time to communicate in a way that she'll understand. He communicates via Morse code, by basically it's just an energetic interference. And when there's dust coming through the window, he uses his hand to communicate in a sort of Morse code to tell his daughter to stay, to not go into space, to not let him go on the space mission. Well, cut to way earlier in the movie, and they both saw this Morse code on the floor, and she was telling her dad, like, it says stay, and he doesn't listen, and he goes on the space mission, all this crazy stuff, and then he ends up in a black hole, and he's the one that told them to stay. So it's crazy. How does that relate to love? Well, his love for his daughter was able to actually, he was able to even find her in the first place and communicate with her, because this love was what allowed him to transcend space-time. And it's the same thing with another character who Anna Hathaway plays in the movie. And she is so driven to find this guy that they're, this astronaut that they're not really trying to rescue. They're just trying to like see what the hell happened to him. And so she's explaining to the main character, which I can't remember his name for some reason, Matthew McConaughey's character. She's explaining to him that like she is driven by this love. Like she loved this, her counterpart, this other astronaut that's been missing. She loved him so much that that is what's driving her to like stay on this mission and try and find him. And it's like exploring this concept of love and how it is metaphysical. And it can transcend the barriers of our reality. And so it really gets you thinking. I mean, if you're paying attention to the movie and you're paying attention to the themes and the patterns, it really is such an interesting concept. And so that makes you wonder, we don't know where we go when we die. We don't know if we go anywhere. But if we do go somewhere, what if it's beyond the physical edge of the universe? What if this universe is just a sandbox? I've discussed the idea of the universe experiencing itself, which is not unique to me. I didn't come up with that idea. Can't remember exactly who did. It might be ancient Hermeticism. It might be somewhat tied into. It's some like modern play on some ancient wisdom, but this idea that we are the universe experiencing itself, you have this oneness, right? You have this universe, uni, one, unified. And verse, which is funny, is a song. Songs have verses. So it's like one song. So you have this like song of reality, this bandwidth, this frequency that everything exists on, right? Everything from gamma rays to x-rays, infrared light, visible light, sound, material, everything, consciousness, vibration, okay? So you have this one song, this one entity that's experiencing reality in infinite different ways through us, and we're all a part of it. Again, this is just theory. Then when somebody dies and they're not physically here anymore, like their body is literally decomposing in a casket 6 feet under, they don't really exist in the physical universe anymore, as far as we know. So what if outside of this physical universe, that's where our souls exist? That's where our spirits are from. And that's where we go. And that's why we can't prove that heaven exists or doesn't, because it's not a physical place. It's not physically observable. And I don't necessarily believe in like this life is our one life, and then when we die, we go to heaven or hell and that's it. That's a very like dualistic religious perspective. Not a fan. I think it's psychologically damaging. I think it's a good way to get you to waste your life. And in my case, waste your money on the Mormon church. But That's besides the point. If there is a place that our souls go when we die and souls even exist, maybe it's beyond this physical edge of the universe. And I'm already noticing a pattern here, which is that our physical bodies have a barrier as well. Now, there are some scientific endeavors and spiritual endeavors to prove things like auras. So for those of you watching on TikTok right now, you've probably heard of an aura. And when you do something cringy, you lose aura points, which is just so stupid. But this idea of auras has, it's been around for a long time. I've been told that my aura is green. And if you look, this light that's behind me is creating what looks like a green aura, which is kind of cool, I think. So we have this observable physical body that literally has a physical limit. Like, this is the edge. But there's something that exists beyond that, that's still a part of me, which is my aura, which is my energy, my vibe, my spirit, whatever you want to call it. It seems to kind of hug the physical form. And if you look at ancient paintings and diagrams, especially of things like yoga and chakras and things like that, you'll see this like energetic field around the person that's meditating or whatever. And it's like, where does this symbolism come from? I mean, check this out. She's cute. Look at this. If you're watching on Spotify, if you're watching on TikTok, right? Look at her. And so you see images like this, and there's always like an aura that's surrounding them. And I think that's supposed to, be indicative of what happens when you are present. Which is interesting. So when you practice mindfulness, you're practicing presence, because our minds go all of these different places except here and now. We ruminate on the past, which doesn't exist. We get anxious about the future, which doesn't exist. You can't prove that any of it exists. It could be just a figment of your imagination. Everything could be a figment of your imagination. You could be the only thing in existence, and everything else is just made up by your brain. There's just no way to really prove that that's not true. And so that's why mindfulness is so interesting, is because you practice presence. And when you're in the present moment, you're able to connect with the energy around you that is also always present. The earth doesn't ruminate. It's just present. It just is. It's in its certain spot in the revolution around the sun, which again, cycles, very interesting. So let me tie a couple of these threads together. You have love, which is able to transcend physical boundaries, which is why love is so powerful. And that's why also why hate is so powerful and so dangerous. Because you don't even have to physically be in the room with somebody. You don't have to physically hurt somebody in order to affect them with hatred or love. And this could tie into why prayer, if prayer works at all, why it does work. It's not that we're praying to some external God to, hey, please like help this thing happen. Please help the people that just got hurt by the hurricane. It's like, well, what if a million people focus their consciousness, which is energy, and they focus a loving, nurturing consciousness at the people that just got affected by a hurricane? Maybe that affects them. I mean, you can feel when someone is angry at you and they're in the same room as you. That's not physical. They could be showing no physical sign that they're angry at you, and you can feel the tension. It's palpable. What makes you think that that energy all of a sudden doesn't exist when you leave the room? So we have the ability to project our consciousness, whether it's love, hate, any other thing in between. And it transcends this physical boundary. And there are also many ancient images and also theories, philosophies that point to this idea that we have some sort of aura around us, and that our spirits perceive each other's auras, but then our eyes and our ears and our nose, hopefully not our nose, perceives people's physical presence, right? And so it's interesting that you have a physical edge to the universe that you literally can't detect anything beyond it. So it is an edge to us. And if we were somewhere else, which by the way, just because of light, because of the way that light travels, the Earth is the center of the universe from our perspective. That's besides the point. If you miss the sense of community that comes with religion and you've been struggling to find peace and clarity ever since questioning your beliefs, then you'll want to join my Grounded Growth Group Meditations, GGGM. These are intimate virtual sessions that combine my approach to deep questioning with my original ambient music that sounds like this. These group meditations are designed specifically to help you overcome religious trauma and cultivate personal autonomy. Each session is limited to 20 participants to maintain a safe, connected space. To join the waitlist, just click the link in the show notes. You will get 20% off your first session, plus first access to booking. Join a community of other people seeking spiritual meaning and personal autonomy, just like you. Click the link in the show notes to join the waitlist. Thanks. You have this physical edge to the universe, but we theorize that there's stuff beyond it. You have this physical edge to your body, but we theorize that there's something beyond it. Kind of hard to prove, but we all think that and we all feel it. So the question is this just a way to cope with death? Are we just simply primal creatures, strictly biological? We are just so afraid of death, and we don't want to accept that it's a possibility. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to accept that we're just going to be snuffed out of existence when we die. And so we come up with things like spirituality and auras and God and consciousness and all this other stuff to create meaning, and none of it means anything, and we're just playing pretend. Well, I just don't see many patterns pointing to that. It's as simple as that. If I did, and maybe I could, because again, for those of you watching on TikTok, you have to be aware of something called, you have to be aware of voice cracks. Hold on just a sec. You have to be aware of something called a confirmation bias. So for instance, if I believe in the Christian God and I believe in the Bible, then I will be looking for proof that it's true. I won't be looking for proof that it's not true, which is the whole problem with religion in general, is that everyone looks for proof that their religion is true, but they never look to prove the opposite, even though there's plenty of proof present that it's not true. So if I believe in the Christian God, if I believe in the Bible, and I look out for signs in the world that the Bible testified of, then it confirms my belief. It's a confirmation bias, but it's biased because I was looking to prove that that belief is true. I'm not looking to prove that it's not true. So all that said, I have had plenty of thoughts. I mean, I just openly on this spirituality podcast, I just acknowledged the possibility that everything I'm saying could be a bunch of bullshit, that everything I'm saying could be total theory, total hogwash, and just a way to cope with death. I acknowledge that possibility. And through acknowledging that, I'm able to overcome a certain level of fear that I have around death and darkness and emptiness. I'm able to face the reality of it. And so when we theorize about stuff like this, about the spiritual edge of the universe, we have to acknowledge that it's not true. But what could we gain from believing that it is true? Because there's not really much that we can gain from believing it's not true, except presence. When you don't believe in anything external, you have to be a good person because it's right, not because you're going to get punished if you don't. You have to live your life because it's literally the one shot you get. Why waste it? Why waste your life worrying about what other people are going to say? Why go to college when your parents want you to go to college? Why stay in the Mormon church when your parents want you to stay in the Mormon church? When it's your life and it could be the one chance you get. This is why believing in an afterlife, a permanent, like this life is the one shot, but then we get to live happily ever after this. That is why it is such a trap, because you don't know. You could waste your one opportunity at life by being superstitious. So you can gain presence from believing that spirituality doesn't exist. However, I think that we can also evolve as a species. I'm going to tie all of this into the spiritual edge of the universe, so just hear me out. We are in a process of evolution as a species, okay? The fact that I'm even able to talk about this stuff on a podcast shows that we're evolving as a species. The fact that I used to be Christian, conservative, and now I am much more progressive, libertarian, and definitely not Christian. I've expanded my capacity to experience reality, essentially. Religion and politics were this like very narrow bandwidth for reality. And I expanded that. I said, fuck these barriers. This is my life. I'm going to question things. I'm going to experience it to the fullest. I've personally evolved. And the people watching this live stream, the people watching this podcast, you're also interested in evolution. And there are millions of people just like us. We're also entering this point in humanity where we're able to talk about things like racism and sexism and mental health, just as some examples, and actually treat them like real issues, because we're not as worried now about how we're going to get our next meal. We're not stuck in survival mode as much. So we're able to transcend our primal state. And so if we can transcend in that way and become present, and when we're present, by the way, we're mindful of others, we're kind, we're loving, because we're not being selfish, because we don't need to be, because we're not worried about what's going to happen in the future, so we're greedy. We're not worried about what's going to happen in the past, so we block ourselves. We wall ourselves up. When you're fully present, all you can do is connect with others in an authentic way. And so, when we all practice presence, and you can do this via spirituality, actually, you don't have to believe in nothing to be present. It just might make it easier for some people. Then, now we're evolving further. We're almost becoming one organism again, as a species. Which I think there's value in individualism. That's not the point. The point is that when we're all present together, we all exist in the same place at the same time. We are all present in space-time. We're not worrying about this. We're not worrying about that. We're just present together. And so if all of that energy is focused in the same moment in space-time, we're expanding our physical boundary, which the physical edge of the universe is also expanding. And we increase our capacity for spirituality, because if spirituality exists on the edge of the barrier, and it is also expanding ever outward or evolving or growing, which again, if you've listened to the podcast before, if you've seen my TikTok videos before, you know I'm obsessed with growth, not self-improvement, allowing yourself to grow. Presence allows for love. And if love is transcendent, if love is beyond the physical, then we actually need to become present in our bodies in this current moment in space-time in order to love better, in order to see clearer, in order to connect with people and share and feel. And so I think that the if there is a spiritual edge, if there's a spiritual barrier, it's not fixed. It's something that can expand with us as we expand as a species. And that expansion could look like colonizing the universe, which, oh, he said the C word, colonize. I'm not talking about European colonialism, white nationalism. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm simply talking about expanding our race throughout the universe. I think it's very probable that we'll be able to do that. Actually, like I really don't think humanity is wired to destroy itself. We haven't done it yet, and we could have. There are hundreds of nuclear weapons on planet Earth, and we're still here. I know that we're nervous about world leaders, this and that, but empires rise and fall, and forests burn down and regrow. So I really do think humanity's got a good shot of continued expansion. But the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we're able to entertain ideas like this, because it gives us a reason to. And that's when you get into this territory of balance. This is something I still have to work with myself, because on one hand, I want to experience growth. I want to grow, but I also want to be present and enjoy where I am and be grateful for it. And so on TikTok, I made a video recently talking about the wave, okay? So you have this wave of reality. Everything moves like this. Light, sound, again, gamma, X-ray, you name it. Life cycles also move this way. And so just the Earth does the same thing. We have winter, summer, winter, summer. And again, there are some places on Earth that don't really have winter, but you get the idea. And so this whole idea of like the edge of the universe, the edge of our physicality and what that might mean for spirituality, I think is just going to be this ebb and flow of at the bottom, digging deep, focusing on presence, focusing on foundation, self-exploration. And then at the top, it's time to grow. It's time to expand, explore the outward reality. So the bottom part of the wave for spirituality, the top part of the wave, physicality. And you're able to get in touch with both. You're able to flow with both. You're not trying to keep the wave stuck at the top or stuck at the bottom, because reality is going to wave. It's going to do what it does. You can't fight it. If you try, you're going to make yourself miserable. So I had no idea where this episode was going to go. Super interesting stuff. I have a lot to think about. I hope you have a lot to think about. What are your thoughts on what we've discussed about the physical edge of the universe and what that might mean for the spiritual edge? Does that even exist? Do you think spirituality exists at all? Who knows? Let me know in the comments of the podcast episode. If you're watching live, of course, let me know your thoughts. We're going to discuss. This has been a really interesting episode. This is the kind of shit that I live for. This is what I live for. I love this stuff. I love talking about this, theorizing. I love connecting the dots. Did I connect dots in a way that you didn't expect? Let me know. Appreciate you for watching. And remember, question everything.